This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump says on social media tariffs will go into effect on imports from Canada and Mexico Tuesday, and the tariffs on all Chinese goods will double from the current 10% number. There are fears these tariffs will lead to higher prices for American consumers. ABC's Michael Strahan asked Amazon CEO Andy Jassy if prices will be going higher.
At the end of the day, if you're building a sustainable business, you can't lose money on everything you're doing.
Should they expect prices to go up across the board on all products?
I hope not.
Today, President Trump will meet with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, the two expected to discuss the war in Ukraine. The West Texas measles outbreaks resulted in the U.S.'s first measles death since 2015. A school-aged girl has died. More than 120 people have been infected. Authorities in New Mexico say there were no signs of foul play at the home of legendary actor Gene Hackman, where the 95-year-old was found dead along with his wife and their dog. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Congressman Derek Van Orden, as well as all of Wisconsin's Republican representatives, voted in favor of a House budget resolution. The measure passed by two votes, with all House Democrats voting against it and all but one Republican voting for it. Van Orden said that the budget resolution does not include cuts to programs such as Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, and anyone saying otherwise is lying. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan said the plan reduces funding for health care and food assistance. Hundreds of Wisconsinites gathered outside Senator Ron Johnson's office in Madison Tuesday to protest possible cuts to Medicaid in the Republican House budget proposal. Their budget proposal includes over $880 billion in cuts to the committee that oversees Medicaid. In Wisconsin and across the country, Republican representatives have faced spirited crowds at town halls, voicing their concerns over the potential cuts. Some have even agreed with their constituents that cuts to Medicaid programs would be a mistake. Republican state lawmakers are seeking co-sponsorship for legislation that would direct the Wisconsin Public Service Commission to conduct a study identifying potential locations for nuclear power plants. The study would seek to identify potential new sites and opportunities to expand nuclear power generation at existing facilities. The agency would also need to cut 30 days off of the standard 180-day approval process for facilities with an advanced nuclear reactor. Wisconsin currently has only one operational nuclear facility. Wisconsin has officially joined the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Milk Testing Strategy. The program is meant to track bird flu through raw milk samples as the highly contagious virus continues to spread across the country. Officials are still working to determine how and when testing will be conducted. The virus has not yet been detected in Wisconsin's dairy cows, but has appeared in a few bird flocks.
It's the Bucks and the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks at home tonight against the Denver Nuggets. The Bucks' Damian Lillard on why he thinks he's not getting more shots from the free throw line.
I feel like it's just being inconsistent. You know, I think it's been a lack of understanding on how I'm being fouled. You know, a lot of times guys will hook the defender's arm and then jump or whatever. But I just feel like I'm paying attention to how they're defending me in screens. They're fighting over. It's hard to stop on the dime, and I'm stopping on the dime, shooting the ball, knowing out there pursuing me over ball screens, so it's a normal play.
Baseball manager Pat Murphy on Sirius XM Radio asked what will it take to plate more runs if the Brewers don't spend more money in free agency.
If you don't have the budget to just go out and kind of just fill every hole, you're going to have to build from within or build from your trades or whatever. There's ways to disrupt the other team by having an offense that can beat you in many ways.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Doesn't affect you. Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thursday, February 27th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.17. That is the same since yesterday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.11. Also the same since Tuesday, although it is up 45 cents from last week. We do have a really busy show coming up for you, especially next hour. Lots of guests. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Judge Susan Crawford will be joining us. She is running for the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So Judge Crawford joining us right after the 11 o'clock news. I think we will have a couple of things to talk with the judge about.
Just a few.
As she always does, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will join us at 11:20 for a little weather and wine. J.R. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will be here to talk all things sports at 11:30. And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Flipping Your Wig edition. It's worth sticking around for. Yeah. By the way, if you can't and you can't listen live, which we understand a lot of people can't because you have, I don't know, a life, you can always go to our website.
Yes.
Civicmedia.us, click on shows and go down to Matt Nair on Air, click on that. And it's divided into 2 hour podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. First hour, second hour, actually 3 episodes drop a day.
That's right.
Because you get your first hour of the show, the second hour of your show. You can also download This Shouldn't Be a Thing separately as its own 3 to 5 minute podcast.
So standalone thing.
Power through 3 to 5 minutes while you're walking around. Get some levity in your life.
There you go.
You can find us all over civicmedia.us/shows.
Check it out. Definitely. We did want to start real briefly. I wanted to just acknowledge this. Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, were found dead in their home in New Mexico. Gene Hackman was 95 years old. Yeah. His wife, 64. Officials say foul play is not suspected at this time, but an exact cause of death has not been determined. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office also says one of their dogs was deceased as well. I'm sure there will be more coming out about this, at least speculation. And I hesitate to do this because we can veer off into crazy things.
Yeah.
But when we hear stories like this in the past, sometimes it's a connection to carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
Whether or not that is the case, I'm sure we will find out. But rest in peace, Gene Hackman. What a prolific actor.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at his awards page. Not even like the movies he made. He's got 2 Oscars, 2 BAFTAs, 3 Golden Globes, 1 SAG Award. And between all of those, he's got 22 nominations just for those four awards alone. So, I mean,
he's in some of my favorite movies, The Birdcage.
Oh God, The Birdcage! That movie
is so good in that film.
Good.
Yeah, just there are so many wonderful movies that Gene Hackman starred in. And here's a little tidbit that you may enjoy. He and Dustin Hoffman joined the Pasadena Playhouse in California early on, and they were both voted the least likely to succeed. Dustin Hoffman and Gene Hackman. Yep, what a bunch of losers. Again, Gene Hackman gone at the age of 95, along with his wife and one of their pets. Should anything break with updates about this, we will certainly let you know about that. But rest in peace, Mr. Hackman. We did want to start off with this. U.S. Department of Education cuts funding for a UW teacher training partnership with MPS.
I want to thank Todd Alba for talking about that this morning. He brought this to my attention when he was sitting in for Pat Kreitlow this morning on Civic Media Mornings. When I heard this, I told Jane, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Trump administration cancels over $600 million in teacher quality partnership grants at universities across the country, including UW-Madison. So this program, the UW-Madison Teacher Residency Program, was founded in 2023, partially because of a teacher quality partnership grant. This was a system or a program developed by the U.S. Department of Education. And what it does is it helps fund teacher education and residency programs in high-need school districts across the country.
Yeah.
So they're trying to fill a need. We have a tough time finding teachers in Wisconsin the way it is.
Yes.
Much less in districts that are more difficult.
That are underserved, yes.
Absolutely. Yep. So this was planned as a three-year program. It had a total of 36 students taking 14-month terms, taking UW courses online and in person. People who graduate from this program graduate with a master's degree in special ed and an agreement they will keep working at MPS for the next 3 years.
Yes, that's not unusual.
No.
Those are regular things that happen in a program such as this.
And we know as well that our special ed kids are already getting shortchanged in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. And now it's gone. The first group to graduate was supposed to happen this summer. But the program got a letter earlier this month from the education department announcing the grant that helped fund it was being terminated. The letter also said the program wasn't aligned with the current Trump administration priorities, specifically because of its, quote, emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion, unquote. Little important thing here, Greg.
Yeah. Jane, unravel it for me, would you?
This partnership... This is from the Badger Herald, by the way. This partnership is not a DEI program and is not focused on any particular identity groups. The proposal stated the program's goal of recruiting from a diverse group of applicants as much as possible. That's been perceived as contradicting the education department under Trump, their current interpretation of discrimination, which includes the hiring of specific groups.
Groups of teachers? Like, they can defend destroying any social program now by just saying it's DEI.
It's DEI.
And people will just believe them just without question, because they just, well, it's public education, it has to be DEI. It has to be DEI. Oh,
isn't that what we're blaming everything on now? Planes are crashing and whatever happens, it was a DEI hire.
Yeah, it's disgusting. We need teachers. We need
desperately teachers.
And we have programs that will allow them to come in, get an education, learn how to teach and give children education. And all they have to do is stay in a school district for between 3 to 5 years, depending on the program. And we cut that in our infinite wisdom.
Yeah.
Because DEI is evil. Has anyone yet been able to explain to me, because I'm not that smart, why DEI is so bad? Like, what makes it so terrible, bad, anti-American?
Well, because white men aren't getting first choice.
But
I'm assuming.
I'm a white guy.
Well, you must have faced massive discrimination over the course of your life, Greg.
On a daily basis. My life is tough, Jay.
Right? You're a tall, imposing white man.
Married to a woman.
Oh, my gosh. There's a drag on you right there.
I mean, I'm an American white male. Who has it harder than me?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it just seems like what happens is, why'd you cut the program? Oh, DEI. It was DEI, and we don't do that here in America anymore. It's all about meritocracy.
Right. It's about earning it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hello, Donald, Erica, and Ivanka. But anyway, terminations like these threaten to make people feel like the field of special education can be undermined. Some students are being told that regardless of whatever changes in the education department, there will always be students with disabilities, yes, who need additional support and specialized instruction, yes.
Yeah.
That's not going away. And yet, we want to throw more money behind private schools who can reject those very kids.
And not to mention, let's just look at the program itself. These kids who signed up for a life of
service.
I almost said hardship, but I don't want to say that because working in any school is tough. Working in underserved schools is even tougher. And when you cut programs like this, not only will there not be opportunities available to get the sort of partnership you need to get a mentor, to like get job placement immediately. Next, because of this, kids won't even want to do it anymore, period. Like there's going to be no opportunities to learn because they can't afford to go to school. They don't want to go into student debt. And the fact that this country, from a leadership standpoint, hates teachers.
Which is shameful.
Which is shameful. I mean, let's face it, Wisconsin did it bigger in 2010. You know, that's how we hate teachers. But now the U.S. government has gotten aboard and just made them seem like the worst people and made them seem like the enemy because they want to teach terrible CRT through their DEI and their other programs they know nothing about.
And you think of where Wisconsin used to be.
Oh, my God.
And how we were considered nationally.
The gold standard.
We were the gold standard for education in Wisconsin.
Gold standard.
That's not the case anymore.
Nope.
We are going to switch gears when we return. Are you looking for a non-paid job opportunity?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get paid.
But I heard I'd get paid.
I don't think you're going to get paid. There's a non-paid job opportunity coming up for all of us.
Yeah.
Next month, we'll have details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
From the center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going. slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, around 11:06, Judge Susan Crawford will be joining us on the phone, carving out a little time for us. Appreciate that. Going to talk about the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race, April 1st. Important race. Less than 5 weeks. And I think we have an appreciation for just how important this is, considering all of the national attention and the national monies that are pouring into Wisconsin. One wonders who wants to take over.
Does he carry a chainsaw? I don't know.
It's a very important election. Please make plans to vote April 1st. Maybe get a group of friends.
Yeah.
Go cast your ballot. Go out for brunch.
It won't take long. It literally will not take long.
These tend to be low turnout elections, which is why it's really important, especially this time around, because control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court lies in the balance. We just got fairer maps.
We just got a fair court. Let's not.
So, yeah, keep that in mind. Judge Susan Crawford joining us after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, though, I did want to, this kind of jumped out at me this morning. We talked about some of the town halls last week held by Republicans, including Wisconsin's own. We never see him, Scott Fitzgerald.
Never.
Glenn Grothman had one. A couple other Republicans around the country had town halls that got a little heated. A little bit.
Just a skosh.
But now we know why Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, appearing on CNN, explains why those crowds were a little upset at some of these town halls. Calvin, do we have that clip? Can you play that clip, please?
Do you have concerns that that's anything that Democrats will be able to use to run against those Republicans?
No, I don't. Because the videos you saw of the town halls were for paid protesters in many of those places. These are Democrats who went to the events early and filled up the seats. If the videos had panned outside the building.
You can't argue they were all paid protesters, though, Mr. Speaker.
Many of them were. I don't know.
Many of them are. I don't know.
I don't know.
Constituents.
One Republican acknowledged they were constituents. That's fantastic. Okay, but they had Democrats come and fill the seats early, all right? This is an old playbook that they pulled out and ran, and it made it look like that what is happening in Washington is unpopular. But I'm going to tell you, Caitlin, the American people are behind what's happening. The DOGE efforts is polling over 80% right now. They want us
who
to
who are you talking to?
Government. They want the government to be smaller and leaner and more accountable to the taxpayers. And that's what these efforts are all about. That's what the Republican Party is about. That's what our commitment is to do, to make government work better for the people. This is a restoration of common sense. Like everything else. And I think the American people are going to remain in favor of what's happening here.
I found
that.
That's enough, Calvin. Thank you.
I found that poll about DOGE, the 80%. It was put out by DOGE. Also, he said something real. Well, he said a bunch. Mike Johnson says things.
He has many words.
He's good at saying things.
He has many words.
We all want the government to work better.
Yes, and be more efficient.
Be more efficient.
Yes,
and be leaner if it needs to be leaner. But here's the thing: I'll say this on the network right now. I'm starting a weight loss journey again. I want to be leaner. I want to be run better. I want to just work better. Do you know what I don't do to do those things? I don't just take a knife and start cutting parts of my body off to just say like, well, now I weigh less. No. I do the work necessary to get thinner, to get leaner, to get stronger. That's not what DOGE is doing.
No.
It is hacking our country apart with a chainsaw.
Yeah, without even looking at what they're cutting, which is the concern. The reason I bring this up, because Mike Johnson, like so many things, he just knows this intuitively.
He thinks.
He knows deep in his guts that this is happening. Like, he knows that millions of people who weren't supposed to be voting are voting, even though there's no proof of that.
Yeah.
But he just knows deep in his soul that these people who were protesting at these town halls, they were paid. If you were at one of those town halls with Glenn Grothman or Scott Fitzgerald last week, please let us know who paid you and how much you got paid. I'm really curious.
Were you paid in like Culver's cash or was it like hard?
Was it like Kohl's bucks or something?
Oh, Kohl's bucks. Oh, that'd be, I would totally protest for Kohl's bucks. I'm just kidding right there, folks. Don't take that seriously.
Well, I have a thought, you know, if you would like to be an unpaid protester, there's an opportunity coming up.
Where is that, Jane?
It's going to be in Suamico.
Where is that, Jane?
That is north of Green Bay.
I know where that is, Jane.
March 8th at noon, the Town Line Pub and Grill, the Save Wisconsin Rally with special guests, Representative Tony Weed, another milk carton kid we haven't seen since he got elected.
Him and Scott Fitzgerald hang out the same treehouse.
They do. And Brad Schimmel's going to be there.
Great.
So again, you're not going to get paid.
No.
Unless maybe Mike Johnson pays you.
Yeah.
He's so convinced that people are getting paid. I think it's important, and Luann Bird had called in the other day and said, if they're not going to do these town halls, we have to go to them. This is really important because this headline essentially says, from the Daily Beast, GOP lawmakers told to skip town halls after showdowns with angry voters go viral. They don't want the public to see that. They want to be able to put forth happy faces.
Yeah.
At all of these events to back up Mike Johnson's claim that 80% of people are behind DOGE slashing and burning.
I just like that. He's like, how can you say that? Well, I don't know. Cool. The Speaker of the House of the United States of America says, I don't know.
But he knows.
Deep in his heart.
He just knows deep in his heart, Greg. So I don't know. If you're looking for something to do March 8th, I looked it up. It's only an hour and a half from Milwaukee if you're coming from this area.
There you go.
Make a plan. Take a friend.
Have a meal at the place afterwards.
Absolutely. Suamico, March 8th, starting at noon, Town Hall Pub and Grill. You're not going to get paid, but, you know.
Weed and Brad.
Go have fun.
Yeah.
Go have fun.
Let us know what happened.
And if you got paid from George Soros or someone to protest, we would love to hear from you, and I'd love to see the check.
Please, yes, please. Yeah,
send that in. All right, we have news coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Social Security Administration Tuesday announced the closing of a component within the agency, the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity. Employees in the office were put on administrative leave effective immediately. Lee Dudek, Acting Commissioner of Social Security, said, quote, "Our focus is supporting President Trump's priorities, which include streamlining functions and prioritizing essential work. Terminating the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity and reassigning statutory responsibilities performed by this office advances the president's goal to make all of government more efficient in serving the American public," end quote. SSA will transfer responsibility for processing equal employment opportunity complaints, reasonable accommodation requests, and other statutorily required functions to other SSA components to ensure compliance with existing legal authorities. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and a group of her colleagues demanded answers from the Social Security Administration regarding the recent turmoil at the agency as Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency embed themselves and gain access to Wisconsinites' most sensitive personal information. Baldwin and the lawmakers wrote, "Providing access to personally identifiable information on hundreds of millions of Americans stored by SSA to DOGE employees without a legitimate reason and in apparent disregard for privacy laws, regulations, and procedures, raises serious concerns about the security of that data and what DOGE plans to do with it." The letter seeks answers from Acting Commissioner Dudek about DOGE's activities at SSA, including whether the acting commissioner has disclosed any sensitive personal or financial information to any unauthorized persons outside SSA. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, here's what you have to look forward to. Last Breath is a mystery thriller starring Woody Harrelson, where he and his crew of deep-sea divers are forced to brave the dark, deep waters to save a fellow crew member. The film is based on a true story, but has no reviews in yet, so proceed with caution. My Dead Friend Zoe also opens in wide release. The dark comedy drama tells the story of an Afghanistan army vet who has an odd relationship with her deceased best friend. The cast includes Sonequa Martin-Green, Ed Harris, and Morgan Freeman, and with almost 40 reviews, it's pulling in 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to say, I'm intrigued. No Address also opens this weekend and follows a group of people dealing with homelessness. There are no reviews yet, but the film stars Beverly D'Angelo, William Baldwin, and Lucas Zuman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few scattered showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, Judge Susan Crawford will be joining us on the phone to talk about, less than 5 weeks away, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Susan Crawford running against Brad Schimmel. So we will talk to Judge Crawford after the 11 o'clock news. We are going to talk about the two candidates for a little bit here, because there are some pretty important distinctions. And I also think it's important that folks realize what, at least to me, seems to be happening on a national level. So control of the state Supreme Courts have very direct impacts on our lives.
Yeah.
Very, very direct impacts on our lives. And if you haven't been following what's been going on in North Carolina, and you probably haven't, because there's just so much to wade through, but the Republican-controlled Supreme Court in North Carolina, they had a justice who was elected last year.
Yes.
They did two recounts in which she remained the winner, and they're still trying to toss out that election. That's what we can expect in Wisconsin if we go back to a Republican-controlled majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. In North Carolina, I think they're talking about like 600,000 ballots.
I thought it was 60,000.
I know six was in there somewhere. but we're talking about thousands of votes that will just get tossed. And these are on very minor procedural points. Not that they prove that these people don't live here or are voting illegally. A lot of these people have been voting for years.
Yeah.
But there were some, now they're zeroing in on these clerical errors.
Yeah.
As their justification for throwing out thousands of people's votes.
60,000.
60,000.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Again, two recounts already found. The more liberal-leaning justice in North Carolina, she came out ahead.
Yep.
And they are not stopping. We can expect that to come, I think we can expect that to come to Wisconsin next.
Without a doubt. That is why, you know, for a win to happen, nobody questioned, or I should say no one of validity questioned when Justice Protasiewicz won. It was called, it was done, everyone walked away. I mean, the guy who lost the race had some thoughts, but who cares? Point is, Judge Crawford is going to have to win by a huge majority to shut these individuals down, but they will still come back at us, come back at the state saying this was stolen.
It was rigged.
And that's why that is why I personally don't get into the world of saying that the 2024 race was rigged, because there's just not enough evidence in my opinion. And I think getting into that makes me sound just as non-credible as the people in 2020 that I said, well, you have no proof. I don't have enough proof to put it forward. We need to make sure we get out and vote. We need to, as you said before, make a plan, take friends, make sure this is an overwhelming majority that says we want to keep fairness on the bench and fairness in Wisconsin, fairness in our maps.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, not resort to 19th century law when it comes to the rights of a woman. Let me rephrase that. There will be no rights for a woman, just a woman's body.
Things were so great in the 1800s, Greg.
I didn't have to think about anything.
Why can't we just go back to that?
Oh, my gosh.
Things were so wonderful in 1849. That's the abortion ban that we're talking about here in Wisconsin,
yeah.
Which, by the way, Dr. Lyerly pointed out earlier this week, has not been overturned.
No.
That's on hold.
Correct.
That's on hold right now.
Yes.
They can bring this back.
There are few places in Wisconsin that are performing this procedure.
Yes.
But we are on a tipping point here.
Yes, we are.
And I'm not going to say it's the most important election ever, because that phrase holds no water anymore.
Not anymore.
We say it all the time. But this is, and I think because it's local, very, very, very important, along with that constitutional question, which we will talk more about in the coming weeks, which is, Do we need to have voter ID enshrined into our Constitution? No, we do not. Period.
A case currently pending before Wisconsin Supreme Court will determine the validity of that 1849 law that conservatives say ban abortions in the state. This ban is currently on hold after a circuit court judge said it doesn't apply to medical abortions at an event last summer. Brad Schimmel says he supports the idea that the 1849 law bans abortion. Whenever it comes up, when Schimmel is on the stump, he shares that his own anti-abortion views are informed in part because he adopted two daughters. And he says the issue of abortion should be decided by Wisconsin voters, not a judge. That would be great. We don't have that option. We don't have those kind of referendums, statewide referendums in Wisconsin, where the voters actually get to decide. We don't have that, Brad.
We tried to. Robin Voss shut that down because he says he loves a representative democracy. Which,
right.
Not really
which
the
means
case
him.
With him. Exactly. I think the other thing, too, to be brought up in this conversation is, one, if he's talking about it, well, then he has to recuse himself when it comes up. If he wins and that bill comes up or that law comes up in front of them, he has to recuse himself because he's talking about it, because that's what they wouldn't shut up about with Justice Protasiewicz last time. So also his story, which fine, he's adopted two wonderful
children. That's lovely.
That's great.
Yes, that's lovely.
He gave the opportunity to two women who did not want babies but did not. Great. But that's not what's happening in this situation where women are facing this horrible decision. And if you want any sort of idea of how bad it can get, listen to Tuesday's episode with Laurel.
We're going to do a recap of that coming up in a little bit. It's important.
Yeah. These were not women who walked into a clinic and said, well, I'm almost there.
I don't want to do it anymore.
No.
I changed my mind.
I'm sorry, but that's not how that works. And you talk to any woman, they're going to tell you that.
Again, I think it's laudable, and I applaud anyone who is an adoptive parent.
Yes.
I think that's a very selfless, wonderful thing to do. And yet, we already have 7,000 kids in foster care in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. 7,000 who are looking for homes. And we go back to this 1849 where we're going to be forcing women to give birth. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to swell the roles of kids in foster care.
Well, not only that, if we're, you know, and we will talk about Laurel again. Look up the mortality rates in Texas right now.
It's terrifying.
Look hard, because they're trying to hide them.
Yes, they are.
If we could become a state like Texas where it is absolutely outlawed, more women will die. More children, as you see them, will die. This will not work the way you think it is. It is not the solution you believe it is. If you think you are pro-life, this is not it. This is as someone just texted, I think we were using candles and whale oil for light.
Yeah, that was so great. John from Hubert is texting that in the 1800s.
Do we want to go back to why?
Let's go back to leeches. Come on. It was so effective in health.
Let's just crack people's heads open and let the bad spirits come out of their brains.
The good old days. Bad humors.
That's
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join this discussion. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, Crawford is being presented as a progressive judge. I would disagree with that assessment. She follows the law, and that's not necessarily being progressive. But here's the real choices that we have. We have Schimmel, who is a candidate who's espoused basically an abortion ban for the state, and that, given it's something that's likely to come before the court.
Yep.
Is pretty unethical, to say the least. He also apparently favors releasing convicted felons who engaged in insurrection. Some of these people actually pleaded guilty to that and claims their convictions were the result of lawfare manipulation. That's what he called it.
Right.
But here's the rest of the court. We have three justices who approved gerrymandering that was so egregious you had to travel across another district to get from one part of a district to another of the same district. And we have two justices, so-called, who voted to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites because they were in counties that basically voted for a candidate that these people didn't want to win the election.
Yep.
Which candidate lost the election by tens of thousands of votes. So we have somebody that wants to follow the law, and then we have these folks. That's the choice that we have in this election. And for me, it's no choice. You want somebody that actually follows the law.
Well, and Jack, I think you bring up a really important point. Brad Schimmel has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers, as you said, calling it lawfare. They weren't given a fair shot at trial. And we've talked about this before. A number of those people that got blanket pardons from Donald Trump because going through all 1,500 cases was just too much work.
Onerous was the word.
Oh, too onerous. I'm really impressed that someone knew what that word was. These guys have, some of these people have records predating their attack on the at the Capitol on January 6th. And they weren't given a fair shot. Mr. Law and Order, Brad Schimmel.
Yeah.
But they didn't give a fair shot. Right, Jack?
Yeah, they pleaded guilty and as well. I mean, and some of them, I think a couple of them pleaded guilty to plotting insurrection for sure. Several of them pleaded guilty. As a matter of fact, we got this guy from Wisconsin that bragged about attacking law officers with, what was it, bear spray, pepper spray, one of those things.
He was so proud of himself. Illegal. Yeah.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer on Twitter. Brad Schimmel says he's in favor of applying the law and not making the law when it comes to abortion. Then proposes a referendum to determine it. That's not an option here. So that sounds real good, Brad, and it sounds real reasonable, except that's not a thing.
No.
That's not a thing. So you can keep throwing that crumb out. It's not a thing. We can't do that in Wisconsin. It's kind of like he's trying to, I don't know, have cover.
He's trying to make himself look like the viable candidate.
The reasonable.
Yeah.
The reasonable guy. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad you're having her on today. Thank you guys for the work you do. But I just wanted to alert your attention to I live South Eau Claire in a rural community. And so far I have gotten three huge posters of the fair judge, Brad Schimmel, who protects our community, supports and defends the Constitution, and puts partisanship aside.
Oh.
And on the other side, now, you know, this is the fair judge, you know, Schimmel, and on the other side they got Susan Crawford. Is she too radical for our Supreme Court? Endangering public safety. Oh, my God, how did she ever do that? You know, it makes me wonder. She has a record showing leniency toward violent criminals and sexual predators. Isn't it amazing he left those sexual predator kits on the goddamn shelves and not even take care of them? Anyway, driving up costs on families. Now, how in the devil does a judge drive up costs on families? Argue to overturn legislation that saves taxpayers nearly $1,000 more per person, making more expensive for hardworking citizens or Wisconsinites. Give me a break. What in the devil's that about, Mr. Schimmel, as you did all those things under Scott Walker? And record of liberal partnership. Oh, my God, there's that word liberal. Maybe they should use the word progressive, that we need to move forward. We need to protect the citizens. And you go, Judge Crawford, and combat the lies they're spreading.
Thank you so much, Gene. Appreciate it. We have news. We will be right back. We're going to continue this conversation as regards to abortion and the current state of women's health in Wisconsin. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, April 1st, Susan Crawford against Brad Schimmel. Judge Crawford joining us after the 11 o'clock news, if you want to stick around for that. Janet from Richland County is on the line, and she's been waiting. Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your patience. What did you want to say?
Hello. I just wanted to say I'm a 73-year-old, very liberal, very capital D Democrat, and I am so concerned that the commercials are three to four around the area that I live in, and for Brad Schimmel, and I know the abortion issue is a huge issue. I often wear my row, row, row your vote shirt around, but something has to be done to address these horrific commercials about, catch and release, I'm air quoting, catch and release Crawford. That's also a huge issue for people. And I am chief inspector in my township. And believe me, the majority of the people that come in aren't sure what's on the ballot and don't read,
Right.
Just take their news off commercials and things. So I really think on top of the wonderful young woman who does the Susan Crawford commercial, they have to start addressing some of these catch and release accusations, about what happened or, why there's predators on the street or something, because that is a huge issue.
And you're absolutely right, Janet. And I've heard from friends and other folks from various parts of the state. There's lots of signage for Brad Schimmel. And again, he's got Elon Musk is pouring millions and millions of dollars into Wisconsin in order to flip this race. That should make everyone go, hmm. And I also, as you mentioned, Janet, I think it's important that people realize, again, Brad Schimmel, who has come down on the side of the January 6th attackers, the fact that dozens of these people who got blanket pardons from Donald Trump had past criminal convictions for charges including rape, manslaughter, domestic violence, and drug trafficking. But apparently that's okay for Brad Schimmel. And I think some of the cases that they're referring to against Susan Crawford, there are other pieces besides just saying, And which is how they frame it. Yes, she's just letting these criminals go free. There's more to it than that.
Well, I mean, also, you can also talk about the fact that, you know, Brad Schimmel failed at processing rape kits while he was in office.
For 2 years.
But then all of a sudden, they were just all magically done because you realized he was getting so much heat. It's your picking and choosing while you don't like somebody. And it's easy to use terms to describe a candidate and whatnot. And I think, that's why a judge's race is so difficult. Because a judge's career, if they've been sitting on a bench for a while, they're going to have for 5 years, they're going to have hundreds, if not more, decisions made. And some people aren't going to like them. But you have to process the law. And you can't just willy-nilly give a person 100 years in prison for a crime that they're talking about. I read in one of the articles.
There
are parameters. That's going to go to appeal immediately and be reduced.
In the time that we have left, I think it's important. We had Dr. Kristen Lierley was on with us earlier this week, since we're talking about the issue of abortion. And Laurel Marcinkus was her guest. Laurel is a young woman in Wisconsin who is married, who had a wanted pregnancy, and was forced to wait to get the health care that she needed, and subsequently lost her daughter anyway. Her daughter only lived for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But let's play that clip, Calvin, from Brad Schimmel, talking about the 1849 abortion ban, which apparently he thinks is great.
I, as DA in Waukesha County, I was one of many DAs who signed a white paper recommending that some people were talking about, why don't we take that old 1849 abortion law off the books because you can't enforce it anyway. And we just said, no, just leave it.
Yeah.
You never know. If the Supreme Court
might
come back.
Reverse Roe v. Wade, well, then we have the law on the books. The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is flawed about that law? There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that.
So please don't tell me, Brad Schimmel, how much you care about women. I don't want to hear it.
And please don't. And any of those people who are saying that that Justice Protasiewicz had to recuse herself because of her thoughts on the maps. This man has been talking nonstop about abortion. If that thing comes to the courts, he should get up, walk out of the room, and then come back till they're done, because that's just fair. And I'm sorry, you don't like it. That's called justice. That's called being fair.
Terry Barr, who is our colleague here at Civic Media, has put together a great article about that interview that we did with Dr. Lierley and Laurel. I highly encourage you to check it out. Go to civicmedia.us, click on the politics tab.
Yeah.
Please take a listen to a real life experience about what happened to a woman in Wisconsin with a wanted pregnancy who developed sepsis because of how long the unnecessary hoops they made her jump through in order to get the care that she needed. Subsequently lost her daughter. And now, which is what we didn't have the chance to address when they were on, she is continuing to have problems as she tries to get pregnant.
Yep. But
it's not a...
What's wrong with it, Brad?
You ghouls are obsessed with killing unborn children. Yeah, no, I'm concerned with women staying alive.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It really upsets me when you have the nerve to call yourself pro-life and the life of the mother has no...
That's not the important life.
It doesn't matter at all.
That's not the important life. Check it out. Terry Barr's piece. civicmedia.us. Click on the politics tab. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A local gas company says it's assisting in the investigation into the deaths of legendary actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog in New Mexico. ABC's Alex Stone has more.
Investigators in Santa Fe County have said little except there was no foul play in their deaths. It had been cold in the area, and law enforcement experts say without foul play and with two people and even their dog dead, carbon monoxide poisoning would have to be looked at from a heater or some other device.
Gene Hackman was 95. President Trump will meet this afternoon with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The White House says they'll be discussing the war in Ukraine. On social media, the president said that 25% tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico will go into effect Tuesday, and Chinese tariffs will increase to 20%. Economists warn this could lead to higher prices for U.S. consumers. As the West Texas measles outbreak continues, a school-aged girl has died, the nation's first measles death in a decade. This is ABC News.